Hello, welcome to another episode of the Motorsteam Metrics Podcast here at TigersMLReports.com. I'm Rogelio Castillo, alongside me is Chris Brown and Youper, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, as we're a proud partner of the Believe Network, and we are live on Facebook, live for the first time on the Tiger Minor League Report side. Just wanted to kind of experiment with that. We've never done that on Facebook Live. I've always had some really mixed bag results with Facebook Live, because they have weird copyright things. So we'll see how it goes. And eventually maybe Facebook will kick us off. Who knows? Not really sure. But also check us out on the Tiger Minor Report podcast. We did a Monday night with Brandon Day. I had quite a bit of rant there. I don't regret it. I thought about it after a couple of days. Youper, just as a heads up, I had a few choice words for Pat Caputo and his awful take on Max Clark, and I don't regret it. Not one bit. I don't regret it.
I know when it comes to that, you were not overwhelmed. You weren't overwhelmed by the moment. I'm sure you came through.
Oh no, I was even keel, and I didn't swear at all. No, not one bit. I just don't. Yeah. I mean, I'm at that point where I'm just going to say whatever is on my mind. Screw it. Like, it just.
Well, you know? Whatever he got, he deserves. That was one of the dumbest things ever.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, 19-year-old kid. Anyway. All right, so plenty to get to as the Tigers lost 3 out of 4 to Texas, but it was a very good series. We try not to be, that was a great morale victory because we played against the World Series champs really well. But this was a team that, I mean, Texas is good. We talked about this last podcast. Kenta Maeda, not so good. We'll talk about that a little bit. Javi Baez getting off the schneid a little bit and telling people basically he was able to hit fastballs and it was able to get a good series overall. Mm-hmm. And so people were asking where they can get this rant. I'll send it to you here in the chat in just a second. But overall, what was your first thoughts of the series?
Yeah, you kind of started to touch on it. It was obviously disappointing to drop 3 out of 4. I was hoping for a split against a team that well. They didn't get it. They came close. Obviously, they played some sloppy baseball at times and a little bit sloppier defense than we've seen so far. And that's something that needs to get nipped in the bud quickly. But, you know, stuff happens. I mean, things come in waves, and they just had some really unfortunate moments in the field this week. The offense showed a little life. They rallied from 2 big deficits today. Even the game, they lost by scoring 4 runs. They won a game with 4 runs. So at least they're getting to 4. We shouldn't have to celebrate that, but the way this offense was doing, 4 runs is pretty good. So it was a fun week, just a little disappointing at the end.
Yeah, I came away with feeling like it was a real missed opportunity. I mean, the Rangers are the defending champs. They're a very good team, but they were down 2 key bats, and their rotation's a bit of a mess right now. I mean, how many innings did we get from Jose Ureña this week?
Yeah, more so than in he was in a Tiger uniform, I felt like.
Yeah, they get a rookie starter today who's obviously he was a high draft pick, but things haven't gone great for him since he got drafted, and he was very hittable. I chalk up the Monday's game to really just bad cluster luck. I think they hit into 3 double plays. The top of the order got on base 9 times, and they just couldn't get a hit from somebody down the order, and they hit into some bad luck. Pitching was very strong in that game. You only give it 1 run, and pitching remained strong game 2 and Scooble. But the last 2 games, they really blew it with their defense. Those are 2 winnable games, and their defense gave it away. And it's frustrating because that could have been 2-2, could have been 3-1 series in the Tigers' favor.
And especially this is a team that's a top 3 in defense in, I believe, the American League or all of baseball. And so there was a couple plays today too where, I mean, the Spencer Torkelson throw after he had that weird throw to second base, that was also kind of just, there's a couple times where it was just I they were trying to fault Baez, and I thought AJ Hinge's quote about Baez's play was the one where he missed the quote-unquote missed the tag. I thought he made a good play there, and that was a good heads-up move there. But was it Garcia who's the runner that was running on that play?
Dr. Round or Shella? Was that Duran? Yeah. Ezekiel Duran, maybe? I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why Urshela, he didn't put the brakes on. He kind of kept moving. And I didn't, if he had just stopped or attempted to stop, he would have slowed down enough. He would have gotten that tag. But it's almost like he ran past the runner a little bit when he did that back swipe.
Tavares, thank you.
Yeah, Leody Tavares, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. John H.
You know, that's was Josh Smith, right? Josh Smith is the player on the Rangers who the Tigers once upon a time drafted him before he went off to LSU.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bloop.
But no, I like what Deadly Ninja B said. The margin for error is too thin for defensive mistakes, and he's absolutely correct because the offense, the offensive explosion this week was nice to see. Kerry Carpenter continuing to level up in terms of that. I mean, that center, that ball to center field today on that triple, whether, I don't know what happened with Tavares there. I mean, but then again, that ball would have been out at other parks too as well. That would have been a home run somewhere else, but still Carpenter's been hitting the ball very extremely well. Mm-hmm. Keith had a nice opposite field single today. He had two hits on the game today. A couple takeaways. Parker Meadows had his first home run of the season on a 92 mile an hour four seamer, which was important because he's been missing on those fastballs. I mean, there are a couple silver lines you can take from this, but there was, as Chris said, there was an opportunity to win, or excuse me, to split the series. I mean, even to win the series, absolutely. Against a team like Texas, who right now isn't 100%. And the amount of injuries, Jack Leiter went up there and looked really good, threw gas, and then the Tigers figured it out. I think that was a sign today. Based off the at-bats, they had better at-bats later in the game, which they're making adjustments, which is something we didn't see the first week or so.
Yeah, you mentioned it, and I do think that is cause for optimism, is that they keep fighting in these games. They keep, you know, they have chances late in just about every game, it seems like. They're relying a little bit too much on other teams to make mistakes and errors. But, you know, they're 10-9 through 19 games. I guess, I was going to use this as my inside the number, but since we're talking about it and since I brought it up, I have a backup inside the number anyway. But it was going to be 6. That's the number of errors the Tigers committed in the last two games of the series. Yeah. And every single one of them cost them a run. It started with Skubal with a throwing error in the very first batter on Wednesday. Colt Keith made his first error of the year later in the 6th inning. That was part of a 3-run inning. In the 9th inning, Torkelson made an error that led to the game-winning run. And then today, another Colt Keith bobble. It's been unfortunate. You know, he was playing so clean up until the last couple of days.
Yep.
Matt Vierling made an error in center field that led to another run. Runner got to third. And then the Urshela error that we talked about already. And that doesn't even come into, like, just the mental mistakes that weren't counted as errors. Like, there was a play earlier where Colt Keith didn't take the out at second. He could have got Seager at second probably, but went to first, so didn't get the lead runner. And then in that same, I think it's 8th inning, Torkelson, kind of late reaction, late decision, made that throw to second and was offline. It didn't get the out there. I think he would have, I think he thought about coming home again. It's just, I don't know. It seems like the game speeds up on Torkelson at times and like he hasn't made up his mind beforehand what he wants to do.
He's got to qualify runners and be more committed to one path. There's no question.
Yeah. So, and I've got more on that later, but yeah, it's a bummer to see that much, those many mistakes cost them two games, really.
Yeah. Well, that last one, I don't think he threw it a little wide, but I think the runner scores anyway.
Yeah, but it was just an out that they didn't get. And I don't know if that was the play before Tavares got to third. I don't remember, but things were like, what's going on? They're not playing, fundamental defense at all.
Right.
I did want to play what AJ Hinch said after the game about Maeda's start and then the Tigers at bats today.
It looked like he was struggling with everything, from the very beginning, kind of tentative getting into the game. I mean, they have an incredible top of the order. They have a really good bottom of the order. But when he, the leadoff homer, and then he settled in that inning and then just continued to fight himself. And I don't think he had a reliable pitch that he could go to when he needed to, and he just started mixing and matching and trying to get through his outing. So I got him out of there as things were starting to wobble again. Yeah, I mean, Leiter comes in. We know he's going to be energetic. We know he's going to be nervous. We know he's going to, he's got high-end stuff. And we found the right balance of aggressiveness against him, but also patience to make him come inside the strike zone. So you know, I thought Torque, you know, delivered the knockout punch and the shower ball to get him out of the game and, you know, really got us back in the game, literally, I mean, to tie it up. So we had a pretty good game plan. We went out and executed it. Our bats were a little bit better, and but we still fell short.
That video is courtesy of Bally Sports Detroit. And, yeah, that kind of sums up the offense a little bit. It was just, you know, in terms of just as far as, like, just trying to get – there was some sort of execution to it, but – you know, it was the little things, the little fundamental things is where the Tigers can't afford to do that against a team like Texas. And Texas, the thing about the Rangers too, is I was talking about this last week. Their lineup, there's not like you guys, I think Uper or Chris, you said it too. There's not a weak spot, but Heim, for example, he went 2 for 5 today. That guy has such a balanced swing. When he connects, he really is just really good. I love watching him, his at-bats. But Marcus Semien, again, almost 3 for... Marcus Semien, to me, is just like one of those players that I don't like. I try to avoid saying cliches like Tiger Killer or anything. He's just a damn good player. I mean, it's just no matter what... It doesn't matter what version of Marcus Semien you have, whether he was in Toronto or Chicago. He's just always a steady presence, and having him bat leadoff is just such a luxury to have.
He was my guy during the great free agent class of whatever year that was when they signed Baez. I've loved that guy for years from the Oakland days too. You know, the guy is just, he's productive. He's athletic. He's like, when you go out in the field, you know, just a hell of a nice ball player.
I'm trying. Wasn't Semien the one who made the uncharacteristic random throwing error in the Toronto series that ended up costing the Blue Jays their entire playoffs that year, right?
It might have, yeah. There was 2 outs in the 9th, and it was an easy flip, and he just short-armed it and one-hopped it to the first baseman, and Vlad couldn't corral it. That was incredible.
He is a hell of a player, too. I mean, he's one of the, I think if you sort by war or whatever, over the last 5 or 6 years, he's one of the best players in baseball. It's just for whatever reason, that one little misplay sticks out in my mind. But, yeah, I mean, he's a killer. Corey Seager's a killer. Adolis Garcia's a killer. Heim is a killer. It really is. Like, it's a great lineup, and that's why it's just frustrating that, you know, you can't make these mistakes against good teams because they don't let up. You give them an extra chance that they're going to take advantage of it, and they did every time.
Yeah.
One highlight to discuss is Derek Skubal, who is now rocking an opponent's batting average of 165 against them. He's got a whip of 0.80. That's how good Derek Skubal is going to be. And for we'll be previewing a little more of the series, but coming up, the Tigers will head to Minnesota starting tomorrow with a 3-game set. Jack Flaherty against Joe Ryan, who carved up the Tigers pretty well with a slider, sweeping slider, in his last, I believe it was last weekend. It was last weekend.
Sunday.
And then last Saturday, it was a Saturday or Sunday. Either way, it was last weekend. This is Andrew Miller says, at least the Tigers have scored 13 more runs than the Twins. That's true.
Well, and yeah, I mean, you mentioned Skubal as a bright spot, and really, I mean, Mize and Olsen were really good too. Like Maeda kind of makes you feel bad about that because that was a stinker, but Olsen was outstanding against that lineup, and Mize was really good too. So, yeah, you still feel pretty good about the starting pitching, and the bullpen was solid this week. I mean, they had some hiccups there, but it was nice to see Alex Lang come out in a huge spot today with the bases loaded and get 2 strikeouts. That was a big for him, hopefully, for going forward, but you never know.
Speaking of which, too, I mean, he did strike out Lamford, and he looked Deadly Ninja B said in the chat, and it is correct, he did look overmatched. All they had to do was just throw slider, but I think Lang got him on that two-seamer, which was some really nice tumble action on that two-seamer. That was a really nice pitch there. And Speaking of Olsen, he'll go Saturday against Bailey Odor, and then Sunday, Mize against Louis Barland, or Verland, is it Barland? Either way,
Barland.
After that, the Tigers, was it the next weekend, by the way? Next week I'll be in St. Paul. I will not be here next Thursday. I will be in St. Paul area. I will be at the, for a work thing. And so I'm actually going to try to see if I go to a Saints game because the Saints are in town and they're playing, I want to say, Rochester. I don't remember right now, but
I see James Woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If that's the case, then I'm definitely going to go. But the stadium is not too far from where I'm staying at a casino. That's where our work convention is going to be. I don't gamble because I suck at gambling. I just, it's not that, you know, it's just like.
What about Bet Online?
Well, if speaking of our friends at Bet Online, Bet Online. So our friends over at Bet Online, this is the time of year where it's your number one source for all summer sports this season. From the NBA, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. The playoffs are about to begin. All latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams, including the Tigers. Get the latest odds and lines, including the team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there for your gambling pleasure. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hey, all right. I saw a cool watch the other day on Instagram. It was a watch that had a roulette wheel in it. It was only 260,000 pounds.
Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, that's anyway. So, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, just real quick back to Alex Lang. I thought that was the most exciting part of the ball game today. I mean, he came in and shut that rally down. And that's the guy they need. They need that guy who has a you know, today was like a one-night stand he was having with the strike zone, right? I mean, he hooked up with the strike zone and he was around the plate today. And when he's that guy, he's pretty damn good, you know? And I don't know what the secret is to get to see more of that, but he entered the game with a 25% walk rate, which I've heard is bad. I heard that's not good.
Yeah, it's Riley Green levels of walking.
But today he had it going, and it's a different bullpen. I think if Alex Lang is a force, obviously, I mean, that's not like breaking news, but I don't know. Today it looked like when he threw his breakers, they looked like they could potentially be a strike, and then they dropped out of the zone, which I think for him is enough. I think when he's struggling is he throws some pitches that are complete waste pitches. I mean, they're nowhere near anything. So hopefully they can get him on track this way. That would be pretty nice.
Yeah, they definitely need another swing and miss guy too, because you don't want to overuse Shelby Miller, because I feel like Shelby Miller has been in quite a bit already as far as appearances go, and, you know, worth the bullpen a little bit, because if Miami still continue to do that, I mean, you look at options internally, Matt Manning, pretty good start today in Rochester, where the bats came alive. They're in West Michigan too. We'll look at the minors a little bit later, but right now it is time for Inside the Numbers. All right, Chris, what is your inside number today?
So it is 2,868. And that is the number of days between the date when Forrest Whitley was drafted by the Houston Astros, 17th overall in 2016, and when he made his MLB debut on Tuesday.
Wow.
And you know, there are tons and tons of stories of baseball players who stick around forever, right, and make it after 10 or 12 years. But Whitley's a little bit different, because he came out so electric. And he's kind of a good reminder about how nothing is ever promised and nothing is ever certain. That's the same draft as Matt Manning. And by the end of his first pro year, 2017, Whitley was already in Double-A and dominating Double-A hitters, 26 strikeouts and 4 walks and 14 and 2/3 innings as a 19-year-old. Matt Manning at that time was in Connecticut and then a little bit in Low-A, West Michigan. And Whitley came into that season, the next season, 2018, as a consensus top 10 prospect in all of baseball. May have been the number one pitching prospect overall. I don't remember. And basically, he was kind of like a sure bet to make the majors that year. And then it all fell apart. He got suspended for 50 games, came back a little rusty, pitched in the AFL. Then his command fell apart in 2019. Then there was COVID in 2020. Then he got Tommy John in 2021. Only pitched 30 innings or 40 innings in 2022, and it was a 6.5 ERA. Injured his lat last year, only pitched 30 innings in a 5.30 ERA. And this year, in the minors, it was a 12 ERA, just 3 innings in AAA before the Astros called him up because they were desperate. And they're off to a really rough start, and they need help. And he pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up a hit, walked a guy, and hit a guy. So it's just a, it's, I don't know. He's a good example of how the star can fall so quickly. And I don't know. It's kind of wild.
Real quick. Did you guys, maybe it's just something before we get to your inside number, Uper, was there, I saw it looking for it right now. Tavares doing kind of like a sweep kick.
Yeah, when he was hitting the ground, he kind of flared out his left leg a little bit toward Urshela, right? That's going
to... Was it kind of like a soccer, looked like a soccer move, kind of like...
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say what that call would be. It would be an umpire's judgment that he was performing some kind of interference on Urshela there, right? And I would imagine in a rundown, I know for a fact, in a rundown play, umpires more often than not are looking for obstruction. They're seeing if one of the fielders gets in the way of the runner. So I saw that too. He kind of flares out that leg. I think you'd be hard pressed to get that call ever in real time, you know, because also I think the umpire was something that umpires call being straight lined. It looked to me from one angle, like the back of Urshela was, the runner was between him and Urshela's glove. So how could he really see that tag missed? Now, he was right, the tag missed. But the way they were lined up, I think he was kind of half-guessing, probably going by body language, unless he had a little better angle than the TV showed me. But I don't think the runner did anything really egregiously illegal there for a call.
Okay.
My opinion.
All right. Let's see here. Somebody tagged me. I guess let me see. They tagged me on. Let's see if I can find it.
In the video?
I wonder if it's on Twitter if they tagged me on it. If they tagged me on Twitter, it's. All right. Well, either way, I'll find it here in a second. But yeah, I want to see that. So you, while I look for that, Uper, go ahead. What's your inside number?
I got two quick ones. The first one are 15 and 67, and that is not a reference to the Pistons record. Okay. So
just better than their actual record.
Well, I can be hopeful, right? So anyway, the 15% is the number of games in Major League Baseball that have been over 3 hours this year. 15%. In 2021, that number was 67%. So the number of three-hour games is even down a little from last year when there was 17%. So that's why I really cringe when I see the players and there a few other people talking about getting rid of that pitch clock. The pitch clock has been a godsend, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I love the quick pace of the games now. I loved the game before, but I love it even better now. So, but that number is really stunning. 15% down from 67 just a couple of years back. My other quick wheel number is Paul Skeens, minor league phenom in the Pirates organization. Of the 105 fastest pitches by a starter in AAA, Mr. Skeens has 104 of them.
Who has the other one?
Well, you would put me on the spot. No, I don't know.
No, you know what? I'll go look for it now.
Oh, that's crazy.
The guy looks pretty good. I don't think he's going to be in the minors too long.
All right. I still haven't seen it on Twitter, so I apologize. I'll find it here eventually, but because I got tagged on something else earlier. There's two numbers I wanted to get into. So the first one is actually 8, and that is the number of one-run games the Tigers have been involved in this season. So they're 5-3 in that. There are 8 one-run games are tied with the Yankees. The second most, really only Oakland was who has 9. And then the other number that I was tagged on Twitter was 45.3, and that's the percentage of runs in the 8th inning or later, which is the highest among all baseball. And the other team that's involved in that is the Twins, who the Tigers are playing this weekend, at 39.7%. So those are,
those are great. And, you know, one thing to add on to your one-run game number is how many extra inning games have they played? And a lot of those didn't end. They ended up like a 4 or 5-run game, but those were through 9 innings. Even closer to that one-run game. So
the Tigers are 3-1 in extra inning games so far this year.
Yeah. So it's Well, that kind of couples with the point we were making earlier that all these mistakes in these close games get amplified.
Although it's interesting, another interesting stat that I found there is a Tiger starter works 6+ innings. So so far in 10, they've done that 10 times a season and they're 5-5. So the bullpen, you know, it's again, maybe it's not getting as much work as we think it is, but 10 games out of 19 is, or yeah, after 19 games, but yeah, there's, as far as my idea goes, let's go back to that a second because it came up on the chat again as people are coming in late. It is admittedly, there's the April numbers. Everybody's talking about some of the April May numbers he struggles with. But the one thing about the key takeaway about today, Maya, was everything was up in the zone and just getting tattooed. I mean, it was just the amount of exit velocity stuff out there. It was just, Texas was almost putting on a tee and hitting it. It could have been a lot worse. So,
yeah, I mean, it's tough to watch that now and know that Matt Manning has pitched fairly well, you know, in his outings in Detroit. And you do wonder how long. I mean, this Scott Harris and AJ Hinch have proven to be pretty patient, and Maeda has a track record in the big leagues that you give them a little rope here. But and if they really have designs on competing this year, and whether they do or not, you can judge for yourself based on their offseason moves, right? But you know, I don't know how much longer you want to mess around with that when you could theoretically put Manning in the rotation, and I don't know, maybe Maeda has a fingernail issue or a stub toe, or maybe he moves to the bullpen for a little bit and you send, you know, Will Vest, Alex Fieto down, something like that. Somebody who has an option that might not necessarily deserve it, but then at least you got your five best starters up there. I don't know. It's because it's been rough so far. You know, he's got 7 home runs and fewer than what, 18, 19 innings. It's you can't live like that in the big leagues.
The Andrew Miller, I think, said it perfectly. Harris will never give pitching free agent a second year again.
I mean, it's possible.
It totally theoretically is possible. I think Andrew's on to something like that, because the Tigers continue to develop pitching within. Case in point, to another pitcher who pitched allowed his first run technically yesterday was Kyler Montero. Prior to that, he had not allowed a run so far in Toledo. And Montero, and I was talking to Mark Gourash from the Days of War podcast the other day about Montero, and I'm sticking to my guns about this alongside Jaden Ham. Montero, I think, is very underrated as a prospect in the system. I think he is going to prove a lot of people. He's going to be a solid pitcher, whether they put him in the bullpen or not, or however they see fit to use him. I think he's good as a starter. But so if you want to know Matt Manning's stats right now in Toledo, the only thing that stands out is he has 6 walks, but then that could be automated strike zone. It could be a lot of different things. That is a thing where you have to be somewhat concerned, but I mean, but then he does well in the major league level, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, so he had 4 walks in his start against the Mets, but he somehow overcame that. But 12 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, and 10 strikeouts down Toledo so far with the ERA of 2.92. So,
and to answer my question regarding Yoop's, you know, fun number with Paul Skeens, the other starting pitcher, the great David Festa. who threw a single pitch at 101.1,
wow.
But then his next hardest pitch is 98.7. So I'm a little bit skeptical of that. But then, yeah, it's all Skeens all the way down to AJ Smith-Shaver, who hit 99.1.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Skeens is literally sitting at 100 miles an hour. It's kind of ridiculous.
I've never heard of half of these guys, and the ones I do know are way past the prime.
Most of these guys never had a prime.
That's a David Festa comment there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got a confesta. I never heard of him.
Do you know that popped into my head too? Same thing popped into my head. So we've been hanging out too much.
Oh, the dad jokes are flowing there. But yes, Josh, Hero had a grand slam earlier in Toledo. That was good to see, because in terms of doing clips today, I totally forgot that Toledo's playing. 4 o'clock, was it?
Well, yesterday's game was suspended. The Montero start was suspended, and so they played a full game today with Manning starting, and then they played a second game, which was, I believe, just seven innings. Or was it another second full game? But, yeah, I totally forgot about that, too, and we missed Justice Bigby's first home run of the year and some other stuff. But Toledo put it up, so we just retweeted.
Yeah, Toledo did the work for us. I mean, they're usually late by three.
We like to beat them by a few minutes, yeah. But it depends.
Yeah, but you know what though, I you know what? Not to humble brag, but this is something that we're worth mentioning. Whenever we put it out, we actually get better traction than Toledo does. No offense to the Mudhens, their social media people do a fantastic job, I'm sure. But no, Jay Bell, and not to be confused with former Pirate great Jay Bell, said. You played for the Diamondbacks too. Okay. Definitely not competing. It was something that Scott Harris said last week. We played the audio from last week where they're just taking it game by game, day by day, which is basically saying, yeah, we're doing what we can. In other words, that's the way. And I think that's a good way to saying what Jay said, essentially, in the most Harris way possible. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, no, I'll just say, like, you know, Mark Canha has been pretty great so far. He's, I don't know if he's hitting for a terribly high average at the moment, but he, Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter are like the three guys producing on offense. And Urshela has been fine, right? He's come up with a couple big hits. He's doing what he does. He doesn't walk, he puts the ball in play. So the moves they made on the offense have been okay. You know, Flaherty has mostly been good outside the one really ugly start, and Maeda has mostly been bad. So it's a real mixed bag there for the player acquisitions this offseason.
Yeah. Chafin and Miller are fine.
Yeah, the Mustache Boys or whatever they're – what is it, the Mustache Boys they call them? Or something?
Yeah, that's Chafin and Foley, right? Yeah, the Chafin Mustache. And Foley,
yeah.
Yeah. Does Miller have a mustache now too?
Who does?
Miller? Does he have a mustache? I don't know. I haven't –
No, I don't really, yeah, same here. That was the I was trying to think of the pitcher. Mason Englert was up there too. They would have like a trio of it. And by the way, some of his numbers down Toledo, it was Evan Woodbury posted a tweet on his, not to get too far sidetracked before we get to the good and the bad and the ugly, but there was a really good stat on Mason Englert that I'm trying to find real quick here. By the way, see here. Through four starts for Kenta Maeda, 7.64 ERA in 17 innings of work, 7 walks, 12 strikeouts, and 7 home runs. So that was something that bear repeating about.
It's so hard to evaluate someone when they're going bad.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's nothing's going to look good right now, and it's easy to say, you know, put him in the bullpen or do something with him. But he has the track record of at least being a guy who's going to be around a 4.20 ERA, somewhere in there. I just got to believe they're not going to write him off for quite some time. Because of course, he's had one good start, right? And he had one start, which was acceptable. And then he's had two duds. So I think we're a long way from knowing exactly what they have with Kenta Maeda this year. I think as the weather warms up, maybe that's something for him that might help. I don't know. Maybe his grip gets some better movement on pitches. Who knows?
Ace Engler, by the way, has struck out 17 of the 42 batters he faced. 40.5%.
Wow.
He's also, I feel like he's had a fair number of walks, though. I remember seeing a couple times where he ended up, you know, the bases are loaded and he ended up getting out of it. But, on Maeda, it's, you know, when you don't have a fastball, right? He's 89, 90 miles an hour. And then his two, you know, his secondary pitches are hanging left and right. The worst pitch in baseball is a hanging splitter. He's been throwing those. And the second worst is a hanging breaking ball. He's been throwing those. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's why you've given up 7 home runs, because you don't have a big fastball, and your two secondary pitches, the two main ones, are not doing anything. So,
yeah
they got to figure something out. I don't know if it's warming up, getting looser, or what it is. And people keep talking about how he's a slow starter, but this is awfully slow.